Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly, and you today. We are opening up the phone lines. We got a lot to cover today because we're talking about Gnosticism and the New Age, and we have so much to cover, but we do want to hear from our listeners, and we also have some great news to share with the spirit world listeners and followers and family, so we're very excited about that. But hello. Hello, Adam.
Good morning. Good afternoon for the people that are, maybe it's already afternoon where you're at. I'm excited. I heard a rumor that that somebody had gotten some kind of award. I don't know that if that's true.
That is true. That is true. So let's share that, and I'll go and grab it as you are starting us in the St. Michael prayer.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so for our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok, Twitch, all everybody that's viewing the spirit world, yes, yes, yes. We received Thursday night the Gabriel Award for Best Radio Program, The Spirit World. And here is the trophy. Yeah, so I'm showing it on screen. I know that our radio listeners, you just have to picture what it looks like. It's very heavy. It's beautiful silver. It's just gorgeous. And we will have maybe pictures sent out on Facebook. Tim, our senior producer, we want to thank. He's done such a fabulous job as our producer of the spirit world. We want to thank our whole entire show team. Oh my goodness, Carol and Libby and Anna and Lori and Rachel and Keith. I don't think I forgot anyone. Tim will always tell me if I forgot anyone, but I didn't. So the whole show team, we want to thank Guadalupe Radio Network for producing the show, EWTN for airing the show globally. Thank you, EWTN, for believing in the spirit world. And of course, the Catholic Media Association for recognizing that the spirit world, there is a need for catechesis on the invisible world. So that's what the judges were saying, and we're very, very happy about it. And so I'll put the trophy safely to the side of the desk. I hope I don't knock it during the show. I don't want to break the statue before we get to enjoy it. But congratulations, Adam. It has been such a joy. And an amazing experience to work with you in ministry.
Now, does this mean we retire now? Are
no.
we done?
No, we're just getting started. Oh. We got to go for back-to-back wins.
Okay, all right, back to work. Back to work.
But it's we're just very excited, and we're celebrating. So please like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast, and that's where our senior producer Tim Mott posted that we did indeed win, and we just want to celebrate together as the spirit world. We love you guys so very, very much. Thank you for carrying this show for so many years. And okay, so Adam, Gnosticism and the New Age. But before we get into this topic, we really must begin with this very special day that is devoted, and we honor Our Lady.
Yes. Yeah, so this is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and you know, this is kind of these two feasts, the Sacred Heart of Jesus yesterday, which it was a great day for us. We were praying and doing exorcisms and invoking the Sacred Heart of Jesus and teaching somebody about it who didn't know much about it. It was a good day. And today is the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and those two feasts really go together. And we know, of course, Mary points to her Son, right? Every time she has appeared, she directs us to her Son. She directs us to pray, to repent, and to get closer to her Son. And the Immaculate Heart of Mary, you know, bore the sadness, the trauma of the difficulty of the end there before the resurrection. And her heart, you know, was heavy in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
But she had that faith and that yes that didn't stop.
Right.
She continued to be obedient in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the immense challenge. She bore that sadness. And then she was there and saw her son raised.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a day where, again, Mary points us to her son. And the reason I'm emphasizing that, Deb, is heresies, and that's what we're talking about today, are when ideas kind of crop up that try to pull us away from Jesus and a proper understanding of Jesus.
Right, right. And before we get into that, because today is the saint of the day is Saint Irenaeus, and a doctor of the church, recent doctor of the church since 2022, believe it or not, he's a church father, but a lot of people thought he was a doctor of the church, but Pope Francis declared him a doctor of the church in 2022. But today is his saint feast day. So Saint Irenaeus and Gnosticism go hand in hand, because he fought so hard against Gnosticism. And we're going to talk about that. But I just wanted to share this because we love Pope St. John Paul II about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Pope St. John Paul II said this: "From Mary, we learn to love Christ, her son, and the Son of God. Learn from her to be always faithful, to trust that God's word to you will be fulfilled, and that nothing is impossible with God." Mm-hmm. I just love that he said that. I just, because he was so close to our Blessed Mother. I mean, he credits our Blessed Mother for saving him when there was that attempted assassination. So, I mean, it is just so amazing. So this is a very special day. We hope that everyone acknowledged the Sacred Heart of Jesus yesterday. We definitely stay in that same mindset today for the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And yes, we're going to now move into our topic for today, which is Saint Irenaeus, which is today is the saint of the day, Saint Irenaeus, great saint. Saint Bishop of the Church, and Gnosticism.
Okay, Deb. So this is an idea, like you said before the show started, it's a nickname is the heresy that just won't go away, right? It just won't die.
That's true.
There's a reason, you know, these are kind of, you could describe them as kind of romantic ideas in the sense that they kind of point towards a kind of a magical view of ourselves and as being special in ways that just aren't true, and us as kind of defining morality. And you actually see this play out in modern Hollywood movies. So there's been some essays and discussion about some of the Gnostic themes, even in Star Wars. Certainly the movie The Matrix series is very Gnostic in a number of ways. We don't have time to get into all of this. And I'm not just picking on movies and saying they're bad. I love science fiction. But my point is that these ideas forever keep recurring because they have a fundamental attraction to our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they? Okay, so gnosis is just a Greek word that means knowledge, or very specifically personal knowledge from experience. But you could say gnosis is just knowledge, okay, in Greek. Gnosticism, when we talk about that heresy, it's a set of ideas that really got a little bit popular in the very early Christian world in the first and the second century, so the first 200 years of the church, okay?
Right.
And these ideas were very Greek. They primarily emerged in Greece, a little bit from the Middle East, and there's different threads of arguments about that we don't have time for, but primarily from Greece. Now, super briefly, Plato had this idea of forms, and it's real simple. If you imagine a perfect circle in your mind, absolutely, utterly perfect, no matter how far you zoom in on it, it's flawless.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like the form of a circle. So it'd be like kind of like the prototype, the circle from which all circles are judged. It's perfect. But that never exists in the real world. You, no matter how hard you try, you can't draw a perfect circle. And if you zoom in far enough, the molecules, the atoms of it, it's not perfectly smooth and round, right? So that's kind of the idea with Plato's forms. So when we see circles in regular life, they're all flawed to some extent. And what emerged out of this is the idea that the world's flawed. You know, there's mishaps, there's problems. We get old and sick and die, and, you know, people are mean to each other, and we stub our toes, and life is just difficult. And the idea there with Plato was that's because this is an imperfect kind of version of a perfect world that would be a spiritual world. And we have an echo of this in a sense of the idea of heaven being perfect, and, you know, things are clearly flawed here, and original sin entered into creation, and that there's a flawedness to this. Okay. So these ideas basically grew out of that Greek philosophy. Now, here's where it immediately gets really creepy, Deb, and you see why it's very heretical. What grew out of that, and when the Christians took that basic idea and they applied it to the emerging, evolving Christian worldview, because the very early church was trying to work all these questions out. You know, is Christ fully divine? Is he fully man? Is he both? All these debates were going on. Mm-hmm. Here's what they came up with. They said, the real God, the Creator, is completely remote, unknowable, purely spiritual, cannot be interacted with in any way, cannot be sensed in any way. You can't actually learn anything about the Creator because he's so far beyond your imagination that it's impossible. You have no access to him. And he's perfect, mm-hmm. okay? And from him, he kind of emanated or created a number of spiritual beings from himself. And, you know, an allegory for this, you might talk about the angels, right? God created the angels. This is different, though. So he creates a bunch of beings from himself that then go and do things, one of which goes and creates the physical creation that we live in. Mm-hmm. This is the Gnostic view. This is not truth. Now, so the actual original creator, we don't have access to. We have this imperfect creature who doesn't have the fullness of the understanding of everything and the full goodness of the creator. And it creates the physical reality that is flawed by its very nature, and in fact is evil by its very nature. And then they say our bodies, right, our physical mm-hmm. selves, mm-hmm. were created by this emanation from God, and they are flawed, which is why they get sick and they die and they're imperfect and they get diseases. Therefore, they argued that mm-hmm. the God that people are worshiping is this flawed emanation from the actual God, and he's actually evil, and that the body is actually evil because by its nature being created by this flawed extension of God, you know, it's to be rejected. They saw the body as a cage in which mm-hmm. the soul is trapped.
Right.
And
real quickly, so there's, I love how Bishop Barron puts it, there's this constant tension between spirit and matter.
Yeah.
This constant. And so that's where Gnosticism has, this heresy has never gone away, because mm-hmm. it just keeps coming back and coming back because of that. And that's why we're at the mess we're in today, where people want to change their gender and their identity and everything. And so that Gnosticism is coming back in.
Yeah. And I think we're coming up on a break, but I want to keep, you know, finish unpacking their strange view of this God that they imagined and the strange view that they developed of their bodies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. You hear the music. Our senior producer, Tim Mott, award-winning producer now, is right on target there, on cue, so that's wonderful. We've got Anna and Lori on the phones. You can actually start calling in now if you'd like to talk about Gnosticism in the New Age at 877-757-9424. The phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you on The Spirit World. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. The comments are coming in already at The Spirit World Podcast. And Adam and I will be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua, and many more as well. To see which saint candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
Protestants believe the Bible is the only source for determining Christian truth, a doctrine called sola scriptura, which is Latin for scripture alone. Is this true? The answer is no, and here's the reason. It's self-refuting. Since knowledge of which books constitute scripture is a Christian truth, sola scriptura demands that the Bible tell us what scripture is. But guess what? It doesn't. The Bible never tells us which books God has inspired. So if sola scriptura were true, well then we'd have to deny our knowledge of what scripture is. But that's self-refuting, my friends. The only way to have such knowledge is if Christ established an infallible church to tell us so. But Protestants reject this idea, leaving us with an infallible effect, knowledge of what scripture is, produced by a fallible cause, the church, which is absurd. Sola scriptura is definitely not a doctrine that's compatible with reason. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, you can start calling in now because Anna and Lori are ready to answer your call, so you'll get right in. 877-757-9424. Maybe this is the first time you've heard about Gnosticism, the heresy. From way back at the beginning of Christianity, and also St. Irenaeus, a great saint that fought against Gnosticism, and also how it is very much tied into the New Age movement. And so we'll talk about that as well. So we'll get back to that in just a moment, Adam. Real quickly, that I forgot to mention at the opening segment, because we were so excited celebrating about the Gabriel Award. We are getting comments coming in on Facebook already. Tony says, hi, Tony, wave to Facebook, our Facebook viewers. Tony says, congratulations to all of you, and says, no retirement, please. Okay, Tony, we will listen to you. We won't retire yet unless the good Lord calls us home. Right, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then another thing we just wanted to mention real quickly is we have this really cool summer speaker series in Houston. And if you're in the Houston area, I would definitely recommend going to it. Adam and I, we were speakers last year. It was so much fun. And it's at the Lone Star Flight Museum. And it's July 26th. And you can find the information at Summer Speaker. It's a summer speaker series, and you go to grnonline.com/SSS. That's for summer speaker series. I want to make sure I get that correct. But you can check it out, because guess who is speaking this year, Adam?
Who?
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Oh.
So you know it's going to be great.
Good.
Yes.
Nice.
So, and that's July 26th. And then, Adam, you and I will be together with 2,000 of our friends and a great list of speakers like and singer-songwriters, Matt Maher and Julie Carrick and Father Chris Alar and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers and Monsignor Charles Pope and Jerry Usher. And we'll have a video presentation from Father Cedric Pazania and Father Sam Medley. And, oh, yeah, there's two other people going to be there, too. Adam Bly and Debbie Giorgiani will be there, too. That's Plano, Texas, July 19th for the wonderful 25th anniversary of Keeping the Promise Guadalupe Radio Network. Very excited about that. And you can find information there at grnonline.com/anniversary. Okay, I did all the housekeeping. The reason why I'm sharing all that is because all of these speakers I'm talking about, they've all been on the network. They're all making appearances on different shows because they've written books. And it's so exciting when you have all this activity happening in the summer. It's very exciting. But that's just some highlights that we wanted to share. We've got callers coming in, Adam, pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But you really must continue on Gnosticism and the New Age.
Yeah, so be patient, everybody. It's important to get through this before we start discussing it, because hopefully a lot of questions will be answered. Okay, so Gnosticism, heresy, first and second century, grew out of Greece primarily. They thought that there is a good God that's completely unknowable to us, who created lesser beings, one of which created our physical universe, our bodies, what we're experiencing right now. And that being was not fully good. He was flawed. It was flawed, whatever you want to say. And therefore, our bodies are inherently evil. The world is inherently evil. Things just are bad. And it's the fault of this creator that isn't the good God behind everything. Now, here's where it gets New Age, Deb. A bit of the original good, pure spirit, true creator God, capital G, kind of fell into this broken creation, this flawed evil creation, and that is our souls. It's the spark of the divine that's in each person, all right? Basically encaged in these bad bodies, these evil bodies. Remember, this is heresy. This isn't truth. I'm just explaining what Gnosticism is. Okay, here's where the knowledge comes in. Now, they would say, okay, once you understand this, you can discover how to access that spark of God within you and activate hidden powers that reside within you, that you can attain God through certain exercises and secrets and techniques. What does that sound like? That sounds like the New Age, mm-hmm. right? You can learn these secret meditation techniques, and then now you have superpowers and you can do this or that. It's also the mystery schools from Greece, which is basically like the secret societies. We have mm-hmm. a secret society. We know secrets, and we can activate powers. And if you join us and commit to us, we'll teach you those secrets. And then you'll be the cool kid on the block. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this all very much sounds like the Garden of Eden, right? Satan basically said to Adam and Eve, you can become like God if you eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, what does that mean? You could see it as, if you decide to define good and evil yourself, for yourselves, moral relativism, mm-hmm. that you become like God, in the sense that you are defining what's good and evil, okay? Mm-hmm. What Satan is saying there is, don't obey God, don't look at God's yardstick and measure your life and your behavior by that. Just make up your own standards for what's good and evil. Rationalize your own behavior. Mm-hmm. Excuse away things because your imagination defines the universe. You define right. what's good and evil. Because Satan doesn't care what crazy idea you're embracing as long as you're not embracing God's ideas. That's mm-hmm. all he cares about. He doesn't care if you go down the road of Satanism, of witchcraft, of the occult, of the New Age. He doesn't care. He'll offer you 1,000 different ways as long as they're not heading towards God. And this primary one, the very first one in Scripture, there's a reason it's there. It's so seductive to us. It says, you don't have to be held to account. You don't have to limit yourself. You define what's good and evil. And further, you'll become godlike. You have special powers that you're not even aware of yet. That's very seductive, okay? So, Gnosticism is very much like that. It's to say, like, okay, right now I'm just this flawed evil thing with bad inclinations, my body's flawed, the world's flawed, but if I can find this divine spark within me, I can define myself, I can activate magical powers.
And tap into it.
I can tap into mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. and I can define what's good and evil.
That's exactly right.
Because if I'm living in an evil situation and I tap into the divine, well, anything I'm doing is good. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, I know that's a little bit hard sentence maybe to unpack, and we don't have time to, this would take hours.
Yeah.
But Gnosticism, another way to say it, is dualism, mm-hmm. right? Evil yep. and good. The body's evil, the spirit's good. And right. we want to separate ourselves from the body and go back to that good creator and leave the body behind, because it's an awful thing.
It's an awful thing. Right. And see, we are body and soul composite. And when we do that, when we focus only on the spirit side and we reject the body, we are rejecting what God has created. We are reject because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And so Gnosticism, this is why I said it was all the way back at the almost the beginning of Christianity. Gnosticism is the heresy that won't go away, because this idea of tapping into that spark of spirit, that spark of soul that you can manifest and generate more of and bring into the world, and also have all this hidden everything knowledge mm-hmm. and understanding and development. This is what where we're at today, where we're in a complete mess, because this is why people are willing to reject their own gender and their own identity to say, oh, well, that's bad. I'm gonna change it because I feel better internally in my spirit this way. So Gnosticism is rising its ugly head again today, and this is why we're addressing it on this Saint Day of Saint Irenaeus, because he fought so hard against Gnosticism and did a great job. He's a great doctor of the church. And Adam, I think you said it very well, and I think we've got a good baseline understanding of it.
Yeah, and the final piece to go, and I know the calls are starting to stack up, and please do call in, that's good, is this leads to an ethic of a satanic ethic. And here's what I mean by that. If I think that I'm now the enlightened one and I'm one of the rare special people,
yep.
And by the way, not in this worldview, not everybody has that divine spark, right? Not everybody is quote unquote special and anointed and having that divine spark. There's a bunch of people that are just, in a sense, soulless from this worldview, and they're inherently evil, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm enlightened and I have some magical powers within me because I'm Gnostic and I have knowledge of how to access those, and this is just a train wreck of a world around me, including these people that are not enlightened, well, what's to stop me from just exploiting them and manipulating them to get what I want and to get more rich, more powerful, more influence? Because they're all kind of fallen creatures, and I'm the godlike, special, enlightened one among them. And it can vary. I'm not saying it always does, but it can easily lead to an ethic of selfish power and domination over others, because from this worldview, it's kind of the way serial killers see people. People are weak, and by their nature being weak, I should subjugate them and dominate them because I'm strong and powerful and I have the hidden knowledge. It becomes a satanic ethic. That stands in contrast to Christ's ethic, which is a selfless love and building relationship. The satanic ethic breaks down relationships and shatters them in order to get selfish power over others.
Right.
And so Gnosticism very easily slides into a satanic worldview. Mm-hmm. And then finally, St. Irenaeus, whose feast day is today, here's his bullet points. He wrote five different books refuting all this, and he succeeded. He did very well.
This was during the late first and early second centuries,
yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Yep. So here were his points. We need a stable church to keep the deposit of faith intact that has been, you know, that was given to us by Scripture and Jesus gave to the apostles. We need that stable yardstick, and the church's job is to keep that intact and deliver it to each generation. Number two, God's creation is not inherently evil. It is human sin that makes the world evil around us. Three, the human person is a body and a soul joined in union, not a good soul in an evil body that is discarded and we should want to flee from. Mm-hmm. Four, there is no hidden truth, but the truth of God given to the apostles by Jesus is available to everybody. It is openly given to everyone. Jesus spoke and invited everyone. Okay, there's no hidden secrets. Number five, the true knowledge, the true gnosis, is knowledge of Christ, mm-hmm. and that redeems the body instead of running from it.
Beautifully said by a doctor of the church, Saint Irenaeus, and today is his feast day. So please learn about this great saint. There's not a lot we know about him, but what we do know about him, he's so powerful against the heresy of Gnosticism. That's what we're talking about today, and we have the phone lines open. There are a couple open lines for you. We're going to get to Lou and Mary and the others. Please call in now, and let's talk about it. 877 877- 757-9424. We wanted to connect the dots today with Gnosticism in the New Age so you can understand what's really happening today in our world. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast, and we'll be right back.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus presses them, "Who do you say that I am?" The disciples try to dodge the question, responding with what other people are saying about Jesus. In our world today, does the same, calling Jesus a good teacher or a good man in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some even dismiss him as a myth or a legend. But the Lord is asking us for our answer. Who do you say that I am? Not what academia, entertainment, culture, or politics have to say. You. It is your choice and your Holy Spirit-inspired answer. What do you say?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Major decisions can feel daunting. Do you feel lost and alone? Not sure what path to take? Life coaching may be the right option for you. Whether it's practicing accountability or creating a better plan that works in your life, we are here to serve with Christ always at the center. God's plan is always the best plan for us. We just may not be able to see it right now. Let us help at standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, we're going to get to the phones unless, Adam, you have anything else you wanted to share. Adam's good to go. We got comments coming in on social media. Thanks again to everybody sending the congratulatory responses about the Gabriel Award. We really appreciate it, you guys. We all did this together. We're a family. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok. You guys are awesome. Drop your comments about Gnosticism in the New Age right there in the chats. Also, after the show, there was a wonderful video that was done 3 years ago by Bishop Barron on St. Irenaeus and Gnosticism. It's about a 10-minute video. I do have it, and I'm going to send it over to Senior Producer Tim. He will happily post it. It's really wonderful, and I think Bishop Barron did a great job going into even more detail about this heresy that won't go away and keeps coming into our life and rises up at different points in history. So, Adam, we'll go to the phones, and our dear friend Lou is up first from Queens, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hey, Lou, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you, Debbie and Adam. Congratulations on your award, and you too, Tim and Libby and the whole staff. Well, very well deserved, that's for sure.
Thanks, Lou.
Boy, this is such a great topic, and like Adam said, you could spend hours talking about this. But I just wanted to bring up something to your attention, and I don't know if you're aware of it. There's a group called the 4 a.m. Club, and they're primarily on TikTok. I was reading about this group that they believe in an alternate universe that on November 4th, this past election, Harris won the presidency and not Trump, and which I find extremely bizarre and really disturbing because of what her party represented, you know, against, you know, I mean, they were for abortion and all the other abominations that they believe in. And I just wanted to see what comments you would have on it if you weren't aware of it. It's worth looking into.
Okay. So, Lou, thank you for bringing it to our attention. Sure. I am not aware of it. I don't know. Adam's not. He's not either. But here's the thing about TikTok. What really concerns me in general, and we should probably do a show on it, because TikTok is so active and out there, and people are just putting things on video and drumming up a following based on how many times and how quickly they say it. So like the more you say it, the louder you say it, the more response you get, it becomes a truth. It is very, very dangerous. We know what the result of so many of these platforms have done with young children when they are influenced by what they're seeing on video. I mean, even some have died by suicide because they have been so impacted by these videos that go out there that are just in your face, very loud, and just saying this is the truth. And it starts to get into the mind. And sometimes when people are depressed or they're weak or they're vulnerable, you know, it just goes in there to the mind, and they can't get it out. They're on this vicious cycle, and they deteriorate very quickly. So, Lou, just based on what you said about this idea of a 4 a.m. club, which is, I find it very interesting they chose 4 a.m. because if you do know, the number 4 in the New Age tends to be associated with angels all the time. Okay, so that's right, very interesting. Right. So there you go, right there. There's the connection. If that's how they picked that club name, the 4 is the connection to the spiritual, the invisible world, right? Okay, and so that's here it goes with this hidden knowledge. So this, and like you said, this alternate universe. Adam, I find these things so dangerous, and this is why I have encouraged so many folks to not just go on the internet and pick up their phones if they're bored or they can't sleep. It is so dangerous because that's what's out there right now. And it's just bombarding people like crazy. What do you say?
Well, I mean, my core reaction, Deb, is just it's important to live in reality. And I know that sounds simple, but, you know, this idea that we could, you know, because I had a police detective friend. He said something really funny to me years ago. He's retired now. He said, no matter how wacky you are, you can find 10 people that agree with you online, mm-hmm. and you'll end up in an echo chamber and convince each other that you're right about the universe and the other, you know, billions of people are wrong. And that's kind of human nature, and that's part of what the internet does. But this idea of, like, it's a fantasy. At its core, it's a fantasy of living in a reality that mm-hmm. maybe they wish had happened, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, obviously, it's important to live in reality and deal with life, what's actually going on, so you can properly respond. And if you want to take political mm-hmm. action because you mm-hmm. don't like a political decision, then get involved in politics and promoting those things and react to reality.
Right.
But kind of hiding in a fantasy and playing with that as an idea to soothe yourself or even psychotically try to convince each other that it actually is true. And by psychotic, I mean a break with reality. That's what psychosis means. I'm not like casting aspersions on people. But if you literally believe that that's true, by definition, that's a psychotic belief because it's not what happened.
Right. But, you know, Lou brings up a really good point, Adam, because what is it? A dopamine hit or an adrenaline rush or what is it? Because I noticed that people do like to have some kind of thrill and adventure and the mm-hmm. and the secrecy and conspiracy theories and all sorts of things. They get really excited about things like that. Like it motivates them to like want to live. I mean, what is the deal with that? Is it a dopamine hit?
I think fundamentally, well, in a sense, yes, but I think the more fundamental thing between us and that dopamine hit is the fact that human beings love to find things.
Okay.
We love to forage and look and dig up something. The idea of digging up hidden treasure is like a universal attraction, right? If I go off and find something cool, and that's because evolutionarily foraging and looking for resources is built into our biology, right? Animals mm-hmm. are constantly looking for resources so that they make it through the day and live, so that
right.
they eat. So we have a fundamental drive to go find things. And so when we play around with ideas sometimes, they tap into that, oh, this group has, they found this secret hidden
mm-hmm.
thing. And now I'm going to join them, and we're going to marvel over it and talk about it and share it, and it'll become our secret.
Right. And we're going to wake up in the middle of the night, so we have this little secret society. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you say, Lou?
I'm listening to what Adam's saying. It's obviously he's right on the money. But what I find really dangerous is that they're just one step away from the modernist view of theology and really bastardizing it, you know? And that's what's really dangerous, because if you have people that, you know, confused about faith and religion and Jesus and God, and, you know, this is just more, you know, fuel for the fire, you know? To have people change, you know, to put their minds in a certain direction, which they shouldn't be, you know?
Any comments, Adam?
No, just that's kind of the core of the Gnostic heresy, and that is that you define your reality, and that should sometimes be forced onto other people. Sometimes you live by it and imagine it's true. But yeah, it's a relative, it's moral relativism, and that's what Satan wants us to embrace, because every sin that people commit in the moment, it feels like the right thing to do.
It's their truth.
It feels quote unquote good, or you wouldn't do it.
Or you wouldn't do it.
It's
so you rationalize your own truth, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We do this to ourselves all the time. When we sin, when we hurt somebody else, when we're cruel and insensitive to somebody else, mm-hmm. in our mind, we have built some way to do that and feel comfortable with it, or we wouldn't do it.
True.
There's a lot of self-deception involved. There could be, you know, anger at whatever, displaced anger from your childhood, et cetera, et cetera. But we get to a place where it's doable, or we wouldn't be doing it. And so right. there's a lot of self-deception. And Gnosticism is an example of, I'm going to really embrace that as an overall life philosophy, not just when I kind of go off the rails for a few hours or make some mistakes. I'm going to mm-hmm. say, I define everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Lou, I think we covered it there. Thank you so much for being a first up on the Spirit World. We appreciate it, and have a beautiful and blessed weekend, sir. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Lou. Okay, we're going to get to Mary next, but Lou's going to free that phone line for somebody to pick it up. 877-757-9424. Here's the question I'm going to ask the Spirit World listeners. Did you guys get that aha moment where you're sitting there and all of a sudden listening to our presentation on this, and you're like, okay, now I get it. Now I see why transgenderism and all these things are happening. Because people are having a difficult time understanding and really embracing and accepting that we are body-soul composite, right? And this idea of Gnosticism just focusing on the spirit side and discarding the matter is dangerous, very dangerous, and it is heretical. It is against the teachings of the church. And this is what the great Saint Irenaeus fought against and did such a fine job of, you know, squashing this heresy. But I will tell you, it's rising back up again through the New Age philosophy and tendencies and practices. So this is why we're doing this program, to connect all the dots. So if you had that aha moment, call in and share with us. Now it makes sense to you why people are very confused on who they are, whose they are, and how important it is to live our life the way God had intended it. And remember, Jesus said, I came for you to have life and to have it to the full. That is body and soul composite. We don't separate like that in that sense. And we're going to have our glorified bodies, right, Adam, when we, you know, when we rise again, right? And for all of eternity. So we are body, soul, composite. Okay, Mary's up next in Pasco, Washington, on our dear friends at Sacred Heart Radio. Hi, Mary. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. You know, the Bible says that God is spirit, and it's my understanding when God does miracles that those are spiritual healings from God. And I listened to another Catholic program this morning, and they were talking about how at least a caller and the person agreed that when Jesus healed, it was done by energy, which I totally disagree with. It's like Jesus healed by his word, and so they were talking about, well, how energy can be transmitted over a distance, and how like people like medical intuitives that, you know, they're picking up on the energy, or they're talking about chakras and ESP, and that, you know, in a sense, it's our power. It's not what God has actually done. And it's like God heals just through his miraculous being. It isn't energies necessarily. So I just like your comment on that.
Yeah, so that's interesting, Mary. Yeah, absolutely. So we need to remember, I think, it's hard to imagine, but God is the author of physics. God created electricity, electromagnetism, mm-hmm. and the rules by which it operates. He created the suns and what fusion is and what fission is. He is the architect of all of that. He's the author of all of that. He's the author of life. He can just do whatever he wants. He doesn't need to. He's not limited by and having to operate through natural stuff. So Thomas Aquinas, you know, talks about this in the types of miracles when he describes miracles, being when God does something either that nature does but much faster, what nature does but in the opposite order, and something nature can never do. Now, take the healings you talked about. Healings are very physical. They're very real. Miraculous healings, they're medically verified by outside people for the church as being impossible to the best of our understanding. And they are very physical. God doesn't need to use electromagnetism to make that healing happen. He's so far above all of those systems and all of the operation of the universe. It's kind of silly to say that that's how he operates. Like, electricity doesn't have the impact of knitting flesh together and healing wounds and lesions in the body. So why would he be working through that mechanism? He doesn't need to. It's kind of a very strange kind of reductive way of approaching it.
Well, let me just add to this. So the scripture story where the lady was hemorrhaging, right? And she reached out and touched Jesus, and he whipped around and said, you know, who touched me, right? Because the energy, quote unquote, was drawn from him, meaning he was, you know, it almost like wiped him out for a minute, right? Okay. And so I think, would you agree with this? Because I've struggled with this as well when I've worked with people who are very locked into this idea of energy, past, you know, transferring and energy manipulation and all that kind of stuff. They say, well, you know, you can find evidence of it in scripture, because there was this kind of power exchange, if you will, when something happened. Would you say that in our limited mind, we focus so much on this word energy, and we're trying to bring it into our own manipulation of what we can understand,
right?
When it's much bigger than that.
Yeah, exactly, Deb. So we're using an analogous word for something outside of physics. So let me give a concrete example. Like I was just yesterday afternoon, spent the whole afternoon at exorcisms. Often when these fallen angels are present in a body, animating a body right in front of you, and maybe they're wrestling with you and you're physically interacting with them to keep everybody safe, there's a palpable feel in the room when they're present and manifesting. You don't even have to be right next to the person. Everybody will turn their heads and look and be like, something just changed.
Right.
When they like kind of quote unquote arrive or start to manifest. And then when they go, Deb, everybody looks at each other like, ah, the room's so much lighter.
Exactly. So you felt the difference.
Gone.
Right.
But it's
right.
not electricity.
Right.
Like they're not
exactly.
built of electricity. The way physics describes electricity, like there's not just, anyway, we're using our limited words and mapping them onto that and then making the error of then mapping the words back and saying, therefore, God is limited by our ideas of energy.
Exactly. This is a very good topic. We should actually, if we can have senior producer make a note of it, we should do a whole show on this, because I think what Mary brought up is phenomenal, and it really does help us, again, connect the dots on why these practitioners and people are using this energy manipulation thing. It's not real, and it's against God, and it's very dangerous. Mary, any final comments?
No, but thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks
does,
for calling
does
me.
That, does, did it help? We want to make sure it helped a little bit today.
Oh, I totally understand it. I just think that the other program, the woman was sharing that, yes, this is energy. And it's like, no, it's not. And it's like, I've had a miraculous healing in my life. And it's like, God healed me. And he healed me. It had nothing to do with energy.
It's because he's God. He healed you because he's God. Mary, if that was a Catholic program, I would definitely suggest calling the program or calling the affiliate that aired the program, and please make them aware of it. Please. Because we don't need lame catechesis going out there or false or you know, slightly off catechesis. We live in a day and time where we need solid, solid truth. Mary, you're awesome. Thank you so much. God bless you. Okay, we have full phone lines. So we're going to go to Nelly next in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Nelly, we only have a few minutes, but we wanted to squeeze you in.
Okay, thank you. Yes, about 35 years ago or plus, my nephew got into the movement of the Agnostic Cristiano that was called in, it started in Peru, South America. And we lost him because to that group. Mm. So it's, you know, this group is very dangerous. It's very satanic. They do sacrifices of children. They do all kinds of things. And I had him visit me for a week. He stayed with me and he slept in my son's room, which my son was about 3 and a half. And after he left, my son was not able to sleep in his room because he will come and say, "Mommy, I see something in my room. Mommy, mommy." And I thought he just wanted to sleep with us. And I didn't pay too much attention until I went to a weekend retreat, women's retreat, with my church, and as for prayer, the lady told me that she wanted to pray for my son. I was asking for prayer for something else, mm-hmm. and she says, "I want to pray for your son." And I look at her, and she said, "Don't you have 2 children?" I said, "Yes." I didn't know this lady from anything. And she says, she described the situation. Does your son comes to you in the middle of the night that he sees something in the room?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "What he sees is real." And then she asked me how long I was living in the house, who lived before us, and if I have any visitors. And immediately came to my mind that my nephew slept in his room. And I put things together and I told her. And she told me, "Okay, when you go home, you're going to take this holy water, anoint every window, every door, his bed, anoint him, and pray Psalm 91 with him." Mm-hmm. And I did exactly what the lady advised me to do. And in 3 days, whatever was in the room was gone. Mm-hmm.
Nelly, okay, we wish we had more time with you, but we're going to let Adam comment real quickly, and we're going to get ready to close the show. Thank you for sharing with us, Adam.
Yeah, just wonderful outcome there. Yes, you know, you can see stuff. It sounds like he got pretty deep into more than just Gnostic philosophy there. But yeah, sacramentals, blessings, prayers, very effective, very helpful. Glad it resolved.
The house blessed.
Yeah, glad it resolved.
Yep.
So, yeah, thank you for calling.
Nelly, thank you so very much. Wish we had more time to unpack this a little more, but I think you really shared it beautifully. And yes, the outcome, I'm glad you listened and anointed and brought that holy water, the sacramentals, into the home. And if any disturbances, right, Adam, people should have their houses blessed by a priest, definitely. Nelly, thank you. Randall in Ohio, Pamela in Wisconsin, Jeff in Cape May, New Jersey. We're not going to get to you today. We're going to ask our show team, wonderful show team, that is Lori and Anna and Carol, to pick up the phones and speak to everyone and tell them how sorry we are we can't get to you today. But the good news is, God willing, we will be back next Saturday with another program. And Adam, again, congratulations on the Gabriel Award, and to our whole show team and Guadalupe Radio Network and the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And so that's it, you guys. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.